Chapter 4 Caris hadn't joined the revelers, celebrating surviving their brush with the sea demon. She woke before dawn and made her ablutions and brushed out her hair to give herself time to think. It didn't help. The secret was rubbing Caris like a burr under the cinch strap. She bound hair black as her mood back in a ponytail as usual. She'd spent the last 5 days putting pieces together. Gavin falling ill after the last battle of the war against his brother Dazen. Gavin breaking their betrothal. Gavin being astonished at learning about his bastard son Kip. Gavin being different. Then she'd wasted time wondering how she'd been so dense. She, and everyone else, had attributed the changes to the trauma of war, the trauma of killing his own brother. His prismatic eyes had been proof. Proof that Gavin was Gavin. Gavin was brilliant and quite the liar, but he shouldn't have been able to fool her. She knew him too well. More to the point, she knew Dazen too well. That was finished. She made her way to the forecastle, as she had every morning, and began stretching. She went crazy if she didn't do some calisthenics every day. Her superior, Commander Ironfist, had thoughtfully brought her 2 sets of blacks to wear, and both tunic and pants were cotton infused with Luxon, snug in spots, flexible everywhere, made for movement foremost and secondly to show off the blackguard's hardened physiques. But though grunting and sweating were part and parcel of her life, that didn't mean she wanted to share it with every cretin on deck.
"May I?" Ironfist asked, coming onto the deck.
The commander of the blackguard was a huge man. A good leader, smart, tough, and intimidating as hell. When Caris nodded, he removed his headscarf and folded it neatly. It was a Parian religious custom, the men covering their heads in respect to Orcholam. But there were exceptions, and like many Parians, Ironfist believed the injunction only applied once the sun had risen fully above the horizon. Ironfist had once plaited his wiry black hair, but after the Battle of Garriston and the death of so many of his blackguards, he'd shaved his head completely bald in mourning. Another Parian custom. The headscarf that had once covered his glory would now cover his grief.
Orcholam.
All the dead blackguards, many of them killed at the same time by one exploding shell, a lucky shot that cared nothing for their elite skills in drafting and fighting. Her colleagues. Her friends. It was a yawning pit, devouring everything but her tears. Coming to stand parallel to Caris, Ironfist brought his hands together, then separated them to a low, high guard. It was the beginning of the Marsh Car. A suitable beginning, when muscles weren't warm and the car didn't range far, so their moves could fit within the small confines of the forecastle. Sweep low, turn, back kick, roundhouse, land on the other foot, balance. Not as easy a task as usual on the bobbing deck. Ironfist led, and Caris was glad to let him do so. The sailors assigned to the third watch stole glances at them, but Caris and Ironfist weren't much visible in the pre-dawn grey, and the gazes were unobtrusive. The motions were second nature. Caris focused on her body. The aches of sleeping on a wooden deck quickly worked out, the older aches more stubborn, the training injury that always made her hip ache, the stiffness in her left ankle from when she'd sprained it fighting a green-white with Gavin. Not Gavin. Dazen. Orcholam curse him. Ironfist moved to Korik's car, ramping up the intensity quickly, again, a good choice for this tight of a space, and soon Caris was focusing on getting just a little more length on her spinning roundhouse kick, getting full extension and height on the back kick. She wasn't nearly as tall as Ironfist, but he could flick his long limbs out into kicks and spear hands with unbelievable speed. She had to work hard to keep up with the pace, he said. The sun rose, and they stopped only when it had almost cleared the horizon. Apparently Ironfist had wanted some hard work too. As she breathed and gasped, leaning over with her hands propped on her thighs, he mopped his brow, made the sign of the 7 to the new-risen sun, breathed a short prayer, and put his gotra on his shaven head.
"You want something," he said.
He picked up another cloth and threw it to her. Of course he'd brought 2. He was conscientious like that. It also told her that he'd not joined her morning calisthenics by accident. He'd come to talk.
classic Iron Fist, comes to talk and says 5 words in the course of an hour. Still, he was right. So Karis said, "The Lord Prism is going to leave the fleet. He'll either try to do so without your knowledge, or he'll at least try to get you to agree not to send any blackguards with him. I want you to send me."
"He told you this?"
"He didn't have to tell me. He's a coward. He always runs away."
Karis thought she'd worked out the rage in her calisthenics, but there it was, hot and crisp, ready to fling her skyward in an instant.
"Coward?"
Iron Fist leaned against the railing. He looked at it. Not a pace from where they stood, the railing was broken. Had been broken by a rampaging sea demon. A rampaging sea demon that Gavin had faced down. She grunted.
"That last part wasn't supposed to come out."
Iron Fist wasn't amused.
"Come here, eyes."
He took her face in his big hands and stared at her eyes in the rising sunlight, measuring, intense. He said,
"Karis, you're the quickest drafter I have, but you're also the quickest to draft. Uncontrollable rage, saying things aloud you didn't intend. Those are the hallmarks of a red or green who is dying. Half my blackguard is dead, and if you keep on drafting like you have, you'll break the halo and—"
"Hope I'm not interrupting," a voice intruded. "Gavin." Iron Fist was still holding Karis's face in both hands, staring into her eyes. Standing on the deck in the soft warm light of dawn, they both realized at the same time what it probably looked like. Commander Iron Fist dropped his hands, cleared his throat. Karis thought it was the first time she'd ever seen him embarrassed.
"Lord Prism,"
Iron Fist said,
"or Holum's eye grace you."
"And a good morning to you, Commander."
"Karis."
"Commander, I'd like to meet with you in an hour. Please summon Kip as well. I'll require him after our conversation. I believe he's on the first barge." Gavin's white tunic, accented with gold embroidery, was actually clean. On a ship, in the middle of fleeing from a battle, someone had laundered his clothes. He mattered that much to people. Things just magically worked out for Gavin without his even trying. It was infuriating. At least his face looked drawn. Gavin never slept well. Iron Fist looked like he wanted to say more, but he simply nodded and walked away, which left Karis alone with Gavin for the first time since she'd thrown a fit after learning he'd sired a bastard during their betrothal. She had jumped out of their boat then. It was the first time they'd even been face to face since she'd slapped his smiling face in the middle of the Battle of Garriston, in full view of his entire army. Maybe she had been drafting too much red and green. Anger and impulsivity shouldn't be a blackguard's most prominent traits, or a lady's.
"Lord Prism," she said, determined to be civil.
He looked at her silently, that restless intelligence in his eyes weighing, always weighing. He looked at her almost mournfully, eyes touching her hair, her eyes, pausing at her lips, travelling quickly down her curves and back up to her eyes again, maybe flicking just for a moment to the sides of her eyes where the wrinkles were starting. He spoke softly.
"Karis, you look better when you're a sweaty mess than most women look in their Sunday best."
Gavin was handsome, charming, and willful in all senses of the word, but something people often forgot was that he was smart, too. He didn't want to talk. He was stalling, getting her confused and defensive about something that had nothing to do with anything. Bastard. She was sweaty, sticky, stinky. How could he compliment her now? How dare he be nice after she'd slapped him in the face? How dare his stupid little gambit work despite that she knew what he was doing?
"Go to hell," she said, and walked away.
Nicely done, Karis. Professional, ladylike, civil. Bastard.